Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. One of the things that we do each week is we publish a free weekly newsletter. I do get email from people who ask me, why do you say that every night? Well, because we have new listeners every night, and they don't know about it, and they need to know about it. It's a good newsletter. It's free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you decide to unsubscribe. No strings attached. So if you're not getting the K-Files, go over to my website. It is kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get there, right in the middle of your screen, in great big letters, it says K-Files. Now, if you click that, it's going to ask you for your email address and fill that in, submit, and you're going to get at that email address a confirmation email. It's got a link in it that you have to click in order to activate your subscription. And once you do that, you're subscribed, and you'll start getting the K-Files each week. I hope you do that. It always contains important information. Information, for instance, about our members area. And you need to know about our members area. You don't have to be a member to listen to the show. It's absolutely free to listen to the show. It costs you nothing to listen to the show. But as a member, you get to watch the show. If you miss the show, you can watch the latest show or listen to the latest show. You get your own profile page, you get your own blog, your own friends page, your own photo gallery, and lots of good stuff. Forums are there. Our archives are there. They're called K-Pods. The K-Pods are there. The reason we call them K-Pods, K for Kevin, and Pods because what we do is we take the commercial breaks out. We miss one once in a while, but the commercial breaks are not in them. It's just the show. But you get that in the members area too. It's 23 cents a day, $6.95 a month. It's less expensive if you go quarterly and even less expensive if you go annually. So maybe tonight is the night for you to join the Kevin Smith Show members area. It's a great community of people. It really is. There's super people in our members area, and we would love to have you there as well. Well, there are more problems with this nuclear reactor situation over in Japan. Six of their reactors are now shut down. One of them has exploded twice. Radiation is leaking into the atmosphere. And they're using seawater to cool the reactor cores, about 1 million gallons a minute. Well, they've got no place to put all of that, all the runoff. So after it splashes around on all those radioactive cores, it's going back into the ocean. That ought to be interesting. We'll be back right after this. apologies for the silence. The software issue that we had last night is fixed. Apparently, there's another one. We're going to get that worked out, I promise. And as a matter of fact, through the rest of the show, it will be just fine. If you went to my website sometime before the show and took a look at what we're going to talk about here tonight, you will have noticed that what we're going to talk about here tonight has to do with a head of state, UFOs, extraterrestrials, and a coup. The picture that was on the website is a picture of the former prime minister of the nation of Grenada. Some people say Grenada. It's located in the Caribbean. Beautiful, beautiful island located in the Caribbean. It's not a big place. It's a place that is, when you go there and you look around, you would say this is an island paradise. It's absolutely a beautiful place. His name is Sir Eric Gary. And Sir Eric Gary was the prime minister of the, I don't know if it was a protectorate or exactly what it was called, but it was part of the British Empire. It belonged to Britain. And then in 1974, Britain decided to grant full independence to Grenada. They had elections, and Sir Eric Gary contested the election. He stood for election, and he won and was the prime minister starting in 1974, the first prime minister of the independent nation of Grenada. Now, he's got a little bit of a checkered record. When you check his biography, you check his bio information, you'll find that he was not apparently not opposed to using oppression. He was not opposed apparently to using thugs against his opposition. But he had some redeeming points as well. He was very straightforward. He was very intelligent. And apparently, he did care about his people quite a lot. Although, those among his people who opposed him, he was not opposed to using suppression against them. And so, he's got a little bit of a checkered past. Now, what I'm holding here in my hands, this is an Associated Press report from August 24th, 1997. And it's an announcement of his death. He died at the age of 75 on August the 23rd, 1997. He died in Grenada. He had had a stroke the year before. He was blind. Things had deteriorated in his quality of life quite severely, and he passed away at the age of 75. Now, this guy absolutely dominated politics in the nation, or actually on the island, before it was a nation and then after it became an independent nation, for three decades. And while he was prime minister, an event took place. This event motivated Sir Eric Gary to speak up, speak out, and push for at the United Nations a resolution that all of the nations of the earth, to the extent that they were able to, each nation more or less able than other nations, but each nation, should undertake a scientific investigation of UFOs. And he went to New York to speak to the United Nations. And he spoke up on several issues. UFOs was one of those issues. That happened in 1978. Sir Eric Gary successfully lobbied the General Assembly of the United Nations, and a resolution was passed. It has come to be known as the ET resolution. But a resolution was passed in the United Nations granting Sir Eric Gary what he was requesting, and that is urging all the nations of the earth to undertake a scientific, serious investigation of UFOs and extraterrestrials. Now, interestingly, only one of the nations that was on the Security Council, now this resolution was not presented, the proposal was not presented to the Security Council, it was in the General Assembly, but only one nation that was on the Security Council tried to block passage of this resolution, and that was the United States of America. The USA apparently used some high-pressure techniques on other nations to try to block this resolution from passage. But it passed anyway. So Sir Eric Gary got what he was after, and that was a resolution stating that the nations of the earth should seriously undertake a scientific study of UFOs and extraterrestrials. Now, that was in 1978. In 1979, that was at the end of 1978, 1979, March the 12th. So we've just passed the anniversary of this. Sir Eric Gary flew back to New York from Grenada. The purpose of flying back was so that he could meet with the Secretary General of the United Nations, who at that time was Kurt Waldheim. And he was going there to talk with Mr. Waldheim about how to approach implementing that resolution. But on the day, the very day that he was to have this meeting with Kurt Waldheim, there was a coup back home in Grenada. And back home in Grenada, a guy by the name of Maurice Bishop came to power. That meant that Mr. Gary was deposed. Maurice Bishop was part of a group of Marxists. They were very closely allied with Fidel Castro in Cuba. And he came to power. Well, that meant that Mr. Gary was sort of stuck in New York City. So the United States immediately granted him asylum and almost immediately recognized the new government, the Marxist government that had taken over via coup in Grenada. Now that is a very, very important point. We will come back to that. Those two events, that they granted asylum immediately to Mr. Gary, and then they immediately, almost immediately, recognized the legitimacy of this new government in Grenada. Now, some people like Marxism. Some people don't. The issue is not whether that's good or not. That's for philosophy and politics. But I think you know where I am on that. I quite like a Republican form of government and constitutional freedoms. But some people think Marxism is a great thing. Certainly, you would not expect that to have been the opinion in Washington, D.C. Certainly, you would not expect that they would be among the first to recognize this government. It's an issue that we'll come back to. But the big issue here is, what is it that so motivated the prime minister of a nation that he went before the United Nations? And by the way, there was quite a prepared, well-prepared presentation that was given to the General Assembly. It included such names as Stanton Friedman, Larry Coyne, Jacques Vallée, and Prime Minister Gary. And they made their presentation back in 1978, and the thing passed. What is it that motivated Mr. Gary? When it seems that all politicians are nervous about sticking their necks out, when it seems that all politicians are loath to put their name on the dotted line for anything, pardon me, that is considered controversial, unless it's just politically controversial, everybody wants to be politically correct. What is it that motivated Mr. Gary, prime minister of a nation, to go to the United Nations and to lobby the General Assembly to face opposition right out front by the United States of America? And now we know, because of the UFO files being released in the UK, this last batch of files had information about this very thing. And we now know that the government of Britain strongly opposed the formation of a commission at the UN for the purpose of pushing for investigation of UFOs. They strongly opposed it. And they worked behind the scenes. They put the word out amongst the people at the United Nations that if you do this, this is going to be harmful. This is going to hurt your reputation. If you do this, you're going to have egg on your face. That was the position the British diplomats took. That's the position that they pressed forward with at the United Nations, but the resolution passed. Mr. Gary faced the government of Great Britain. He faced the government of the United States of America, and he opposed what they thought, and he won. What motivated it? Well, it's a pretty interesting thing, the way this story goes. The way this story goes is this. There was a time when he was prime minister when some people came in and were at a place where he was having lunch. They were very, very excited, very obviously disturbed about something, anxious about something, and they walked over to his table and convinced him there was something that he, the prime minister, needed to see. And so Mr. Gary went with them to see. What he found was this. These were fishermen. They had located on a beach of Grenada and took him to the beach along with some other people, including his photographer. They had located debris, metallic debris, all along the beach. And He walked onto the beach. They led him over to an object that was covered with a tarp, and they pulled the tarp back. Under that tarp was the body of a man that would have stood about 8 feet tall. According to Mr. Gary, he was a white man, approximately 8 feet tall, had the appearance of being in his early 30s, so he was fairly young. He had long white hair, and his hair was in braids. He had braids. He was wearing a one-piece suit that, at first, the fishermen, when they first spotted that there was something down there on the beach before they got up to it to see what it was, they thought that perhaps this was the body of a scuba diver who had met with some type of accident just offshore and had washed ashore. And they thought that because of the garment that this body was wearing. It was a one-piece garment, and it had sort of it was blue, but it had sort of the appearance of a scuba suit. But when they walked up to it, they realized this is something not from here. Oh, by the way, this 8-foot body had 6 fingers on each hand. Well, the Prime Minister took a look at this, and he was understandably shaken up a bit. And so he ordered the people who were with him to start gathering up all of the stuff on the beach, all of the debris, and they did. It was mainly small pieces of metal and some metallic canisters, which I think they found 8 metallic canisters. They were able to get 2 of them open, and those 2 contained samples, like a sample of coral and a sample of some sand. Wait till you hear the rest of this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about Prime Minister Sir Eric Gary. Very interesting individual. Very intriguing story. And when we stepped away for break, Sir Gary is on the beach. And he is viewing the body of an 8-foot tall, apparently human, and apparently not human, dead man. There's debris all over the beach. He had had people pick it up. Before they moved the body, he had his photographer photograph everything. And he got some good pictures of this. Now, after they did all of that, they got 2 of the canisters open. They couldn't open the others. He had everything loaded into the back of a pickup truck. There was another pickup truck available. It was there. And he had, it took some doing, but all the men working together were able to pick up this body and load him into the back of the other pickup truck. Sir Gary says that what he did was, he needed time to think about what to do. And he had the body sent to a medical school. Now, presumably, he didn't say this, but presumably to be preserved until he could make up his mind what to do. Sounds pretty fantastic, doesn't it? It sounds like something that just could not be. But that is what motivated Sir Eric Gehry to go to New York City and to appear in person before the General Assembly of the United Nations and to persuade them that there needs to be a serious scientific investigation of UFOs and extraterrestrials. Now, the body has gone to the medical school at this point. And then late in 1978, Sir Gehry goes and speaks to the UN. Early in 1979, Sir Gehry goes back to New York to speak with the Secretary General about how to implement this formation of a commission to press for and to get serious scientific investigation of UFOs. So a lot of you are not aware of the fact. You didn't know it. Some of you did know it, but a lot of you did not know that the United Nations actually did pass a resolution calling for serious scientific investigation of UFOs. Maybe you knew that. Maybe you didn't know that. But that's pretty important. So what happened with this resolution? We now know why Sir Gehry went to New York, why he made his presentation to the United Nations General Assembly. We know why he went back to New York just a few months later to meet with Kurt Waldheim. And we know that on the day that he was supposed to meet with Kurt Waldheim, he was deposed. He was overthrown in a coup back home in Grenada. So what happened to this resolution? It passed. Well, after Sir Gehry was deposed, the resolution was tabled, meaning it's sitting there with no action taken. It's still active. It's a resolution that's been passed. It hasn't been rescinded, but no action taken. Now, the first time I heard this story, ladies and gentlemen, I thought what a lot of you are thinking. I thought, yeah, okay, right. Sure. It's quite a tall tale, isn't it, for the prime minister of a country to be telling. Quite a tall tale, indeed. And yet, that is the tale. The resolution passed, the resolution was tabled after he was deposed in a coup. What is it that makes me suspect, and I do? What is it that makes me suspect that this story by Prime Minister Gehry is true? Have you figured it out? Well, there are a couple of factors that are indisputable in history. First of all, this happened. You can check it in the archives of the United Nations. This happened. Secondly, and when I say this happened, I'm talking about it is a fact that Sir Gehry went to the United Nations, made the speech, got the resolution passed. That's fact. It is a fact that the United States opposed this and Great Britain opposed this. That's fact. It is a fact that Sir Gehry returned to New York City a few weeks later on March the 12th of 1979 to meet with the Secretary General. It is a fact that on the day that he was to meet with the Secretary General, he was deposed. He was overthrown by a coup. It is a fact that the United States immediately gave him asylum. After opposing what he was up to, they immediately gave him asylum. It is a fact that almost immediately, the United States recognized the junta in Grenada as the legitimate government of Grenada. That's fact. It is a fact that that government was a Marxist government and that they were very, very cozy with Castro. All of those are facts. There are a couple of those facts that really make me think this is a real story. This is the genuine deal. There was an 8-foot alien on the beach in a one-piece suit. And by the way, it was described as being all one-piece, including the shoes. The shoes were a part of the suit. Prime Minister Gary said that you could grab that suit with your hand and stretch it, pull it about 2 feet. And then when you turn loose of it, it slowly returned to its original position, shape, and size. Two of those facts make me suspect the story is true. And the reason that this is coming up now, it may not be on the radar screen anywhere else, but the reason this is coming up right now, right here, is because the recently released documents from the Ministry of Defense related to UFOs in Great Britain contain information that corroborates part of this story. It corroborates that not only was it the position, well, it corroborates that this actually did happen. It corroborates that not only was this the position of the British government to use accusations, innuendo, whispers to discredit Mr. Gary. That's in there. That's in those papers. It was their position to oppose this at the United Nations, and they apparently, along with the United States of America, used pressure on other nations to try and get them to vote against the resolution, but they were unsuccessful. And what happened was the resolution passed. Well, when the resolution passed, we are only weeks away from Mr. Gary being overthrown, deposed, down in Grenada. And it didn't happen till he flew back to the United States to meet with Kurt Waldheim. That's when it happened, on the day that he was to meet with Kurt Waldheim to discuss how to implement this resolution about studying and investigating UFOs and extraterrestrials. On that day, just like that, he was no longer the prime minister. The timing is quite suspicious. The timing is just incredible. But beyond that, folks, beyond that, we see that the United States of America had another high-level player, another high-level partner in opposing this. And who is that other high-level partner? None other than the United Kingdom. None other than the very country that had been in charge of Grenada. And 4 years earlier, they had been in charge of Grenada. They joined the United States in opposing this resolution. They put pressure on other countries, but it passed. And like that, Mr. Gary is no longer prime minister. But that's not anywhere near the end of the story. The United States had mounted a fairly intense program of pressure against other nations to get them to vote against this resolution, and yet they offered Mr. Gary asylum immediately. By offering him asylum, it prevented, if he accepted, which he did, that prevented him or precluded him. It didn't prevent, but it certainly precluded him returning to Grenada and saying, no, by golly, I am the elected prime minister. You guys are thugs. We're going to duke this out, and the winner takes all. It prevented him from doing that or precluded him doing that. It's a good move on the part of the United States because it achieved a good move in this light. It achieved a goal, and that is to get Mr. Gary out of the picture. There had been whispers and innuendo circulated about him, but now he's no longer prime minister. Let's give him a place to live. That way he won't go back and be in Grenada causing more trouble for us on this UFO thing. But they did something else that is absolutely astonishing. Remember, I read to you part, or referred to at least part, of this Associated Press report, this report from August 24th, 1997. I'm going to read a small portion of this. I want you to listen to this. The United States granted Gary refuge, but quickly recognized the new People's Revolutionary Government. Gary is therefore the only political ruler known to have been overthrown while pursuing an interest in UFOs. The UN's official UFO inquiry was tabled a short time later and has never been revived. Maurice Bishop was assassinated along with 10 other people on October the 19th, 1983. 6 days later, U.S. Marines and paratroopers invaded the island. But it gets better. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about the very strange case of Prime Minister Sir Eric Gary. Now, as we went to break, I had just read to you from this Associated Press report, and it said Maurice Bishop, that's the guy that overthrew Prime Minister Gary's government, Maurice Bishop was assassinated along with 10 other people on October 19th, 1983. 6 days later, U.S. Marines and paratroopers invaded the island and ousted a Marxist junta that had seized power. Now, they had recognized the government of Maurice Bishop, who came to power in a coup. The U.S. government had recognized them, and they were cozy with Castro. This happened in 1979, the coup. The coup happened in 1979. Let's think back. Let's go back in the time machine here, and let's think back to what was happening in 1979. We're in the Cold War. In 1979, we are very much committed to, by we, I'm talking about the United States of America, very much committed to our hatred of Fidel Castro. There is a very long-standing official hatred of Fidel Castro in the U.S. government. Fidel Castro, for a long time, represented the only place, for a long time, the only place in this hemisphere that was governed by communism, by Marxism. And it was always a real point of contention still is to a large degree, although things have loosened up a little bit. But in 1979, you know, you still have people in the CIA totally committed to the overthrow of Castro and so forth. And here's Maurice Bishop, who's kissing up to Castro, and we recognized him like that. Well, in 1983, he was assassinated. And 6 days later, our president at that point was Ronald Reagan. 6 days later, U.S. Marines invaded the island. Marines and paratroopers. And, you know, they said that they invaded the island. The official reason was that the government of Grenada had taken a decided hard turn towards Marxism more than before. It's a matter of degrees, more than before. And because of that, there were American lives in danger. Now, the American lives that were in danger were students at a place called St. George's Medical School. St. George's University Medical School. Those who are watching on television or watching or they're seeing a picture of the St. George's Medical School. Beautiful place. What a beautiful setting that is. American students at that school, according to the official statements out of the U.S. government, were in danger, and they had to be rescued. Now, there's a little part of the story you may not know. Part of this story you might already have known. You may have already been familiar with Prime Minister Geary, maybe not. But there's a part of this story that, at least here in America, we've never been told. They said that those Americans were in danger and they had to go rescue them. And if that truly was the case, then of course they needed to be rescued. And perhaps it was the case. However, the Reagan administration admitted later to the Senate that they had never pursued any other options in their planning other than military for evacuating those students. Okay, now look at what's been going on in Egypt. Okay, we haven't pursued military options there. You can pretty well bet that plans were laid on in case it became necessary, that military plans were ready in case it became necessary. But we orchestrated getting people out of there on charter flights. This was not done in Grenada. The day before the invasion, loads and loads of people were leaving Grenada on charter flights, but not these Americans. No charter flights were arranged for them. Well, couldn't they have gotten out maybe, you know, when all of the assassination took place and things were in turmoil, couldn't they have gotten on commercial flights and got out of there? Well, no. Because commercial flights had been halted. And let's see, I think the commercial flights were actually halted on the 13th of October, and it was the 19th of October when all of this broke loose. And why were the commercial flights halted? Why do you suspect? Because of pressure from the United States government on those companies doing the commercial flights, the airlines. Because of pressure on them, the flights halted. Now, whether it was actually planned to have this effect or not, and I suspect it was, the effect was that those students were trapped. No commercial flights, and we in the United States did not orchestrate any charter flights for them to get on and get out of there. So that pretty much guaranteed they had to stay in place at the medical school, didn't it? That pretty much guaranteed they were trapped. Now, there may have been some people with guns out around the medical school. I'm not saying that wasn't the case. What I'm saying is when there was time to get out, that the U.S. government did things to guarantee those students couldn't get out. It kept them trapped at the medical school. So 6 days after the assassination of Maurice Bishop, 6 days later, paratroopers and U.S. Marines invaded Grenada. And they went in to rescue these students. By the time the invasion took place, these students most likely, very seriously, really, genuinely needed to be rescued. But like I said, actions of the United States government guaranteed they would be there. They would be trapped. That they had no way out. No commercial flights out, and we wouldn't arrange charter flights for them. Why? Why would we do something like that? Where did Prime Minister Gary send the body of that extraterrestrial that he found on the beach? Let's pick up where we left off. This is an intriguing series of events over a number of years. It begins in 1979, actually in 1978, when Prime Minister Gary went to the United Nations and successfully lobbied them to pass that resolution. Then in 1979, just a few weeks later, he comes back to New York City for the purpose of meeting with the Secretary General to talk about this resolution that passed, a resolution that said that all nations should vigorously go after serious scientific investigation of UFOs and extraterrestrials. That passed in the UN. That's history. That passed. But there he is in 1979, awaiting his meeting with Kurt Waldheim when he discovers he's no longer the prime minister. He's given asylum in the United States fairly immediately after the United States had very strongly opposed that resolution. They give him asylum here in the United States. And very quickly then recognize as legitimate the government of Maurice Bishop that had deposed Prime Minister Gary. They recognized that government as legitimate at a time when we were raw about Marxism. Now, look, most of us, I think, today would say, no, I don't want to live under Marxism. No way do I want to be in a place where you have to live under Marxism. But we were, in 1979, those of you who are old enough to remember, in 1979, we were really raw about Marxism and communism, and we were in the middle of a Cold War, and we recognized a Marxist government right off our shore almost immediately. Knowing they were cozy with Castro, very much so, we recognize them as being legitimate. Does that make any kind of sense to you? Is that, I mean, how do we get there? But the rest of the story is that we reached a point in 1983 where Maurice Bishop, who had overthrown Prime Minister Gary, was assassinated. And 6 days later, the U.S. Marines and paratroopers invade the island. And they say it's to rescue these students at the medical center, these Americans. And it was. Except they would not have been there if the United States government had not set it up where they had to be there. The United States pressured airlines to stop their commercial flights, and they did. Now the students can't get out. Other people are leaving, and the people who came out of Grenada on charter flights said there was no sign of any kind of armed group at the airport. It was business as usual. Everything seemed normal. But they got on these charter flights and left. But these poor American students, the United States government didn't arrange any charter flights for them. Made sure the commercial flights were canceled, didn't arrange charter flights. What else can you expect? There they sit, pretty much trapped by the actions of our government. Makes a good cover story, because it's real. The real story is that they were there. They needed to be rescued out of there. That's the true story. But as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story that we were not told is that the reason they were trapped there is because of the actions of our government. Our government took actions that caused them to be trapped there. Why is it important? Well, it's important because where were they trapped? I mean, it's important for a lot of reasons on a lot of levels, but related to what we're talking about here tonight, why is it important? Well, it's because of where they were trapped. They were trapped at St. George's Medical School. They were trapped at the very place that Prime Minister Gary had sent the remains of the UFO and the extraterrestrial that apparently had been traveling in it. The students are trapped at the very place where that stuff went. And where did U.S. troops go? Right there. Now, is it possible that I'm reading into this something that's really not there? Well, let's see. Let's take Nick Pope's word. This all happened before Nick Pope joined the MOD. But he's read the file and he's had comments on it. How about this one? Speaking about that when Great Britain put pressure on other nations in the UN and said, this is going to damage the UN's reputation. If you pass this resolution to study UFOs, it's going to harm the reputation of the UN. That would be very hard to do. Well, here's what Nick Pope had to say about it. He said, so it was a complete fabrication and a very clever piece of brinkmanship to sort of scare the UN into thinking that setting up a commission would damage their reputation. But actually, the opposite would have been the case. The people would have said, this is great. This is what we want. We're interested in this. That's Nick Pope. Now, for those of you who don't know, Nick Pope is the guy who he used to be part of the Ministry of Defense, and he was there for 3 years. He was the UFO guy. He was the one at the Ministry of Defense that coordinated all of the UFO information and investigation. He also said this in talking about what they did, you know, in terms of trying to discredit Prime Minister Gary, he said this is completely in line with the MOD's longstanding policy to downplay both the phenomenon itself and the department's involvement in it. So what you've got is behind-the-scenes machinations where defense officials and diplomats are basically plotting, casting aspersions, probably starting a whispering campaign against Sir Eric Gary. End quote. That's Nick Pope. That's the UFO man at the MOD, or he was. Listen to this. Am I reaching? Is this for real? Or is this a fiction story that I just made up because I want to sit here at the mic and spin a yarn for 2 hours tonight? Listen to what Nick Pope said. This actually happened, and today's discovery that the dead hand of bureaucracy was conspiring against you. Now, he's writing that or saying that to a person who actually wrote the speech that Prime Minister Gary gave to the UN, that he presented, that he spoke to the UN. So Nick Pope, in responding to that person, Lee Spiegel, said, this actually happened, and today's discovery that the dead hand of bureaucracy was conspiring against you perhaps enables you to say we hold and have always held the moral high ground here. It actually happened. It's real. You see how the picture changes when you get a little bit more of the data? See, I remember the invasion of Grenada. Do you remember it? Many of you do. And you remember the whole world was against us. Not all the world, but most of the world was against us going into Grenada and using force. As a matter of fact, Ronald Reagan was very close friends with Margaret Thatcher, who was the prime minister in the UK. They were very close friends, soulmates politically. And Margaret Thatcher refused to participate in the invasion of Grenada. For refusing, the State Department said that they were very upset with her, not disappointed, upset. Very upset and displeased, very displeased. Now you might say, well, whoop-de-doo. Well, in diplomatic circles, that kind of language is very serious. When a diplomat speaks, it doesn't mean what they say. Those are signals that mean something else. The invasion into Grenada was not something that the UK participated in. Why? Well, was it perhaps because maybe, just maybe, the intelligence services in the UK had picked up on and knew that this was all being orchestrated out of Washington, D.C.? And it apparently was. I mean, the facts are the facts, and the facts are that our government pressured the airlines to stop the commercial flights and then didn't arrange any charter flights for those students to get out, guaranteeing those students would be trapped at the medical school. Do you think that those were the only Americans in Grenada at the time? Think about it. Do you suspect that those were the only Americans there? Well, those are the ones they went to rescue. And then if it's being orchestrated and we see the destination, what was the goal? The destination was the medical school. What was the goal? The public goal was to get those students out of there. They were Americans. We have to rescue them. So the publicly stated goal was to get those Americans out of that school, to rescue them. What wasn't publicly stated is they are in that school because we made sure they couldn't leave. Now, when we add that in, the question then becomes, what is the goal? Really, what's the goal? Why the medical school? Why were these students trapped in the medical school by the actions of their government, forcing them to need to be rescued? Why? Well, can't say for sure, but certainly when we line up all these events, they string together quite nicely, and it strings all the way back to an 8-foot-tall dead body of an alien on the beach. Is that why we had to go to the medical school? Is that why we had to trap our own citizens there so that we could use that as a reason to invade and to go there? Is that why? This really happened. There was some fierce fighting between the U.S. forces that invaded Grenada and a small number of Cuban forces and a small number of Grenada forces. Fierce fighting. There's a movie about it. Have you seen it? Heartbreak Ridge. In fact, the producer was telling me today about that movie, and I have seen it. He was telling me today, and he called me and wanted to know if I had seen it, and the answer is yes, I have. It's good. It's Clint Eastwood. Good movie. So there was fighting there. But when these students could have gotten out, someone made sure it didn't happen. What's the reason? What was the real goal of getting to that school? Well, after brief fighting, Grenada was pretty much ruled by America for a while. After the fighting, it was officially still independent, but American troops were there. And so it was pretty much under American thumbs at that point. Did something else leave the medical school besides those students? Did something else get on those rescue planes and be sent back to the United States, something about 8 feet long? Maybe some metallic objects as well. Is that what happened? Certainly something other than what we've been told had to be the goal. Once we know that these students were trapped because of the actions of our government, that's what caused it. Once we see the whole string of events, it surely is suspicious, isn't it? And it surely does tell us that the stated goal couldn't have been the goal. The stated purpose, the publicly stated purpose, could not have been it. Now, what they do in these situations is they tell the troops, we've got some Americans down there in Grenada and they're trapped. They're in this medical school and they can't get out. They're surrounded by these Marxist guerrillas and we got to go rescue them. That's what they tell the troops. They don't tell the troops, and we're the people that put them there. We're the people that put them in danger and made sure they had to stay. It was us. Now you guys have to go out there and risk your lives to get them out of there. They don't tell them that. That isn't the way politicians do. Politicians don't tell the truth. Politicians tell a version of reality that's twisted usually, and usually a very perverted perspective on things. And that's what they did here. This can be pretty well documented. Well, it is documented. It is documented. I've read you some of the documentation here. The news reports of what happened, when it happened, how it happened. So what's the real goal? The real goal had to be something much, much bigger and much more important, because they were willing to risk the lives of those citizens to make sure they had cover for going in to Grenada. It had to be something much bigger than just rescuing the students, because they made sure the students couldn't leave. It had to be something bigger than the students, because the medical school is exactly where they headed as soon as they hit ground in Grenada. And this string of events, when you run it backward, this string of events leads all the way back to the beach and a dead alien. Certainly appears to, anyway. It appears to. I'd like to know what you think about it. I don't know whether you've ever heard all of this story before or not. I don't know if you knew all the details or not. I can tell you I talked with someone today who provided some really interesting detail and insight, and I certainly hope that individual calls in tonight to share that with you, because it's a gangbuster. It really is. I'm going to open up the telephone, and I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to know your perspective on this. Maybe tonight is the first time that you are hearing this. Maybe it's the very, very first time, and you don't know what to think about it all, but I can tell you this. When you go and start verifying what I've told you here tonight, you're going to find the exact same documents that I referred to here tonight. There are more documents. There's apparently a CIA document, a memo, about this alien UFO situation in Grenada. And there apparently is a UN memo about all of this. I haven't seen them, but I've shared with you documentation about this tonight that shows you an answer to what we're talking about when we talk about exopolitics. You thought about that? I don't agree with a lot of things that I hear out of the exopolitical community. You know, some of the ideas and policies I have differences with. Doesn't mean they're wrong. It's just different. But one of the things that I do agree with is that we need viable exopolitics. Politics for dealing with non-terrestrial civilizations. Civilizations that come from somewhere else in the universe. Why do we need that? Well, because here we have one of them that is found dead on a beach on a small island nation. And it brought the whole world to the brink of, and over the brink, of extreme high politics and dark diplomacy. Apparently leading to the invasion of Grenada. Perhaps the assassination of Maurice Bishop. The cover story that students were trapped in the medical school. When they were trapped there because of the actions of the government. They weren't trapped there until the government canceled the commercial flights and then didn't even consider doing charter flights to get them out of there. So here we've got a situation with an extraterrestrial, a prime minister, the government of Grenada, the government of the United States of America, the government of the UK, all tied up with big stuff going on at the UN over UFOs in 1978. So when we talk about exopolitics, we're talking about dealing with these sorts of things, because when people say, well, you know, extraterrestrials, I don't know if they're ever going to make contact. Well, what do you call this? What do you call this? Do you know there's not a whole lot of people, there are not a whole lot of events that can tie up the UK and the USA in such a tight knot as this? There's not too many. So, exopolitics is something we need. It gets the term gets bandied around a lot, and people talk about it and say things about exopolitics. Some of what they say is pretty good. Some of what they say is pretty crazy. Depends on who you're talking to. But the same thing is true, you know, if you in the USA, if you talk to 10 Democrats and ask them what's a Democrat, you're going to get a whole bunch of different answers. Same thing with if you talk to 10 Republicans, what's a Republican? You're going to get a whole bunch of different answers. So with exopolitics, you have the same sort of thing happening. But the concept of exopolitics is very important. Very important. Because these extraterrestrials are interacting with Earth. Like I said, people say, well, you know, one of these days, you know, we'll know for sure. I'd say at least three of those governments know for sure. And somebody knows where the body is. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone lines are open. The telephone number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. And that will work from anywhere on planet Earth. The toll-free number for the United States and Canada is 888-223-4599. 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You go to my website and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. You'll see Sir Eric Gehry's picture. To the right of that, you'll see a link that says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Kathy in Las Vegas. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Kathy. How are you?
Good, thanks. You know how you did that show the other day about how the giants keep going missing? Well, maybe they're using this body that they found in Grenada to do cloning experiments.
Program. Now, there's a thought. And what would be the purpose for cloning giants and getting giants back in business?
Super soldiers?
Well, maybe. But you know something? A large body size was an advantage back when, you know, there was swords and clubs and stuff like that. For weapons, the bigger the body size, it was presumed, the more force he could deliver with his sword or his club. But these days, when we have things that we hold in our hand and can shoot a mile, the bigger the body size, the more disadvantage you would be at. So I would not think it would be super soldier, but I wonder, you know, they're maybe just curious. I don't know. Maybe they just want to see if they can do it. I hadn't thought about that.
In the absence of data, there's always a good, everything is possible.
Well, that's absolutely true. You've been listening to this show for a while because I say that all the time. In the absence of data, every speculation is valid. But now let me throw something else out. This thing about how the students got trapped in that school. Had you ever heard that before?
Not at all.
Kind of disturbing, isn't it?
Disturbing, but not surprising.
Well, I agree with that. It's not surprising at all, but very disturbing. And I think it's just curious that, you know, they picked the medical school. There were other Americans in Granada. They could have said, okay, well, you know, these merchants that live and work in Granada, we've got to go rescue. No. These medical students, and they had to go to the medical school. I find that to be almost a signature. It's almost like putting a signature on it saying, yep, that's it. We're here to get the UFO and the body.
If Eric Gehry had sent it to that medical school, was that it had a history of receiving unusual things for study?
Well, I don't know, and I would suspect the answer is no. However, it is like the premier university in Granada. You know, it's
just maybe they had other things besides that one that they found that was 8 feet.
Well, now they might. I don't know. This is the only one I know about. But, you know, Granada's a very, very small place. And, in fact, just looking at this, it's not as big as the island I lived on for 2 years, East Timor. And it appears to me that Granada is, see, I lived on the island of Timor. There are two countries on that island. It's kind of split in half, and the east side is known as East Timor, and it's an independent, democratically elected government. The west side is Indonesia, but the island itself is called Timor. So this island of Granada, just looking at this, appears to be about the size of the east side of Timor. So basically it's about half the size of Timor, it appears.
Well, maybe someone who is listening to the show has been part of that rescue effort and they can call in. And
well, I would like to hear from them. I guarantee you if they were part of that rescue effort, they were not told you're going to rescue people that we trapped there. I guarantee you they weren't told that.
And was anybody on that plane, did they see an 8-foot box in the corner somewhere?
Well, now that would be interesting to know. Somebody did. If they got the body, somebody has seen an 8-foot container or bigger. Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Maybe they'll call in. All right. Thank you for the call.
You too. Bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. What do you think about all this? You know, there's another issue here. And the other issue is disclosure. I've said it before, and let me say it again. As other nations turn loose of either all or some of their UFO information, which is happening, there will be things in there that will force disclosure of things in the United States. And this is a case. This is one case right here where release of information in another nation sort of forces the hand of the United States on this. I mean, what can they say? These documents released by the Ministry of Defense talking about the Gary case confirm that, you know, they didn't just think, oh, well, Mr. Gary, see, look, put this together. They didn't just have the attitude that Mr. Gary, yeah, he's a prime minister, but he's a little kooky. You know, that was not it. Their diplomatic corps went into high gear to oppose Mr. Gary even coming to the UN to present this. And then to apply discredit to him and whispers and aspersions about him. This was, you know, full court press here. Now, it was happening in the USA as well. The U.S. government was strongly opposing Mr. Gary's proposal that there be a U.N. investigation into, a worldwide investigation, into UFOs and extraterrestrials. So the United States government was, in fact, doing the same sorts of things that the British government was doing, but they haven't released their files about it, and Great Britain did. The UK has released their files that contain the information corroborating that they were in high gear diplomatically to oppose this proposal by Mr. Gary. So, with the release of the documents from the Ministry of Defense, it brings it all right back up into the headlines again. It brings it right, well, it should. It brings it back to light again. After 30 years, here it is again. And now what can the U.S. say about it? Can the U.S. say, no, that didn't happen? No, it absolutely did happen. It absolutely did happen. So, would there have been such high-level diplomatic full-court press if they thought that Mr. Gary was just a little nutty and that's why he was talking about UFOs and aliens? Would there have been this high-level pressure placed on other countries? Would there? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think having the documented proof of the full-court press diplomatically against Mr. Gary, having the documented evidence of that, shows they thought that what he was talking about was very real. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. I suspect just what you were, because I haven't heard this one before, but just by the whole thing, it sounds like the whole thing of this gentleman's, the states actually helped this maneuver on getting him out of the government, and possibly they were, not just the fact they were responsible for going in and putting other people at risk. I suspect if this gentleman was as bright as he was, and it sounds like he was a pretty bright man, he might have put it away somewhere, this ET, somewhere where nobody else would get it just in case.
Well, now, I think he probably put it somewhere, put the body somewhere where he believed that it would be safe. However, you know, you can't just kind of hide that sort of thing under the sofa. You really have to have a medical facility to preserve the body, to keep it in good shape, keep it from decaying, and apparently that was done for a number of years. Apparently.
Hmm.
So, you know, the only place.
British aristocratic, wasn't he?
Do what?
He was a British aristocrat, was he?
He was, sort of. Grenada was, I don't know if it was considered a protectorate or a possession, but anyway, they were not independent, and they were British. And in 1974, the UK decided we're going to let them have full independence, and then there'll be elections, and everyone that wants to run can run. So he was, let me tell you about this guy. Do you know what the Privy Council is for the Queen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for those who don't, that's the innermost circle of advisors to the Queen.
Wow.
He, after independence, he was elected. He was made a part of the Privy Council.
You know, I'm just wondering. You know, I know there was the major medical facilities in Granada. I wonder if anybody's ever checked in around that time, within a year or 2 years, whether there was something sent back to Britain to a certain destination. I'm just wondering, a man with that sort of intelligence, he must have known the opposition he was up against.
Well, now see, that might explain, I mean, it's a possibility, but it might explain why Margaret Thatcher told Ronald Reagan, no, we're not going to participate in that invasion.
Maybe they had the body. Have you ever thought of that?
Maybe they did, and they just weren't telling the USA that they had it.
That's what I figure.
Yeah.
Because if I was in that position, I wouldn't trust anybody. I would put it in the most unlikely place where they wouldn't let, least of all, expect it to be.
Do you want to hang on through the break? Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are talking about this very strange case involving Prime Minister Sir Eric Gehry of Granada about 30 years ago. And on the telephone with me from Canada, Haya. Haya, we kind of had to cut you off because of the break, and I wanted you to have the opportunity to finish your thought.
Well, my thought is, was the man married?
Yes, and he has had two daughters.
You know what? It could be, you know, when something like that happens in a family, whether he is a prime minister or not, and it's something that miraculous, he would have talked it over with his wife.
Maybe.
Possibly. She could have had some input, like, you don't want to put it here, you want to be careful because you don't know what's going to happen. And it's possible she knows where it is and always has done, or maybe the children do too.
It would be interesting if someone wanted to research this thing for them to check on possible British ship movements or flights during that period of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are you of the opinion, or are you just speculating? Are you of the opinion that the body of this alien was moved to the UK?
My opinion was, by the sounds of this man, and he sounds like an extremely bright man to be in the position he was in, I would have said that he would have moved it, knowing with the opposition he was under, the first thing they would be looking for it when, if they got the chance, because they were opposed to him. So he would have moved it. Possibly that could have been the reason why the coup was allowed to happen, probably promoted by the states. Then when they brought the people in, the states, and they, why would they go to that little country for so long unless they didn't find what they were looking for the first time?
Yeah. Well, now the invasion of Granada took place in 1983. The coup took place in 1979. But it was just very, very curious that, I mean, you looked at the events and everything happened like clockwork. If you remember at the time, you had the assassination of Maurice Bishop, and 6 days later, we're in. I mean, that's fast.
Suspect to start off with.
A military expert looking at that estimated that the plans to do what was done would have taken about 2 years.
To orchestrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. And I would say that... Yeah, I would say he would have moved it. That's probably, they probably never found what they were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did, it probably wasn't exactly what they were hoping for.
Well,
I suspect it's still around somewhere.
Yeah, like I said, somebody knows where the body is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Haya, I want to thank you for the call.
You're welcome, and thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you. We've got time for one or two calls, if they're fast, 623-444-5889. This, I had not thought about that, the possibility that the Prime Minister, while he was the Prime Minister, may have had this body and the debris moved. And so everyone pretty much figures, okay, the only place in this small little country of Grenada where you could have sent the body, the only place that could have done anything to preserve this body is that medical school. Everybody pretty well understands that if you understand Grenada. He would have known that everyone understands that. And so it's possible, as Haya says, that he had it moved and that it may not, maybe it wasn't there when the U.S. Went to the medical school. I want to say again that I cannot, and I am not saying definitively, that the invasion of Grenada had anything at all to do with this UFO business. Can't say that for sure. But what I can say for sure is that the events really line up nicely like a row of dominoes, don't they? It looks very, very suspicious. And if the alien part of this, if that was not a factor, if that was totally not a factor, then the question remains, what was the real goal? What was the real goal of going into Grenada to rescue these students when we now know they were needing rescue because of the actions of this government? Or, well, the government that was in place at that time. You see what I'm saying? That makes no sense. Okay, we're going to send our troops to rescue these people. But these are people that we've trapped there. These are people that are there because we wouldn't let them leave. So let's send our troops now to get them out. What was the real goal of all of that? The end game, the real goal, could not be the rescue of the students. They were pawns in this. They apparently were just pawns that were put in a situation where they were trapped as apparently a cover for sending Marines in to untrap them. Why? What's the real goal? Again, I don't think that the real goal has anything at all to do with we just have to go there and rescue these Americans. And a lot of other Americans that needed rescue. But we went to the school, the medical school. Well, I think this story about Prime Minister Gary, I think it's a very important story. It's an important story because there are so many facets of this that can be nailed down and documented. Parts of it cannot be, as far as I know. I mean, unless those pictures of the alien on the beach surface somewhere, I don't think there's documentation of that. Those pictures exist somewhere. Maybe they'll surface. But there are so many facets of this story related to the UFO information that can be corroborated, nailed down, documented. It's a very important story. Furthermore, the recent release of documents from the UK about UFOs contained corroboration of part of this story. So it's not a situation now where the U.S. can say that's all fiction. No, it's not. It's not fiction. The documentation that this is real, that it actually happened, that documentation not only exists, it's been released to the public. And so the U.S., there's only two things they can do here. One, they can keep quiet about it. Or two, they can come clean. That's their only two possibilities. They cannot deny that it happened. It happened. And any possibility of being able to deny that is gone. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed what I think is one of the most intriguing UFO events in modern history, perhaps in all time. It involves a high-level politician in a small country. It involves high-level politicians in two big countries, powerful countries. It involves deceit. It involves all kinds of backroom whispering. It involves a coup. And it involves the United States of America recognizing a government they were violently opposed to. Something's up. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Why? Because you have a right to know. Until next time, so long, everybody.